Dark times for Marvel, Ghostbusters casting news, and Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. We're talking all that and more on this week's show. I'm your host, Nick.
And I'm Anthony.
And welcome to That Superhero Thing.
Let's do it.
Do you know Jake was devastated that he couldn't come into the podcast tonight?
Oh, was he?
He was, yeah. My son, my 10-year-old son, came to watch Dungeons and Dragons. I couldn't remember the title. I've just said it, but I couldn't remember the title. He came to watch it with us, and I think he really thought he was going to come and do the podcast. Oh, but it's late.
It is late.
And Auntie swears a lot. That's why they're not allowed. That's why they're not allowed to listen to it. When they go, "Daddy, can I listen to the podcast?" and I go, "No," and they go, "Why?" I say, "It's not suitable."
I really try hard. I just can't fucking help it.
I say, "It's not suitable," and they go, "Why do you swear?" and I go, "No, I don't swear ever, but Auntie swears a lot."
I do have a potty mouth. But it's the sign of intelligence, you know.
Blame it all on Anthony.
That's all I'm saying.
Fucking disgusting. Anyway, on this week's show, we're breaking down all the biggest comic book movie news, including things going from bad to worse from Marvel Studios. They really are. Some extremely surprising Ghostbusters casting as well, or at least what I found surprising. We're then going to give you our full review of Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves. That's hard to say. Before listening to your thoughts and theories in this week's PodFans Assemble, this is also your spoiler warning. There will be spoilers and speculation throughout the episode. Finally, if you want to skip ahead to the Dungeons & Dragons review, say it slower, or to PodFans Assemble, then we'll put timestamps in the description, as we always do.
Dragon. I don't do that tongue thing.
Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves. It's hard to say. Should we do news?
Yeah.
Should we start off with all the terrible Marvel news?
Yeah.
Because it's all kicking off at Marvel Studios again. So, firstly, Jonathan Majors, a.k.a. Kang the Conqueror, a.k.a. Marvel's main antagonist for the whole phase of the MCU that we're in, has been arrested for assaulting his girlfriend last weekend. So, since this news broke, there's been loads of updates dropping. It's really hard to keep up with, to be perfectly honest. So some of it's coming from like TMZ and stuff like that. There's bits come forward from his attorney as well.
Yeah.
And then there's loads of third parties coming forward with their own allegations. I don't really think we should be speculating what did or didn't happen.
No.
To be perfectly honest.
Not at all.
Because a lot of these trusted sources that are on Twitter and stuff like that, I don't know. I just don't think, I think we'll find out what really happened eventually. And then we should also sort of just have an opinion on that.
Yeah.
Do you not agree?
Well, yeah, because having the opinion before you actually get all the full facts is what hit Johnny Depp so hard with him and Amber Heard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And although he wasn't innocent, he was nowhere near as bad as he was made out to be. And, you know, it's just all of that kind of stuff. So there's no point in kind of sitting there and going, well, clearly he's done it then, because all the evidence is there. Well, it's not yet. It's he said, she said, basically.
Exactly, yeah.
And that in itself is not evidence. It's not permissible in court. It, you know, it's a total 50-50 swing, depending on who sounds the most believable. And
but that is it.
Yeah,
the thing is, there's always somebody, always, that's not going to like you.
Exactly.
Even with me. Believe it or not, there's people who don't like me. Not many like, but
there's people who don't like me.
But the more famous you get, the more people there are who don't like you.
Yeah. And the stronger their feelings tend to be. Because let's be honest, there's a hint of envy and jealousy for the fact that somebody is successful.
And
you know, if somebody hates somebody already and then sees them doing well, they're as much as people would say, oh, I don't do that. You do. Let's be honest, it is a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just...
We're not defending him either.
No, we're not defending anybody.
We don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look good because his girlfriend did have injuries after this altercation.
Yeah.
But it's also been revealed by Deadline that it was actually Majors who called the police, and it was only when they arrived that she accused him of assault. Now, I'm not saying accused as if it didn't happen. I'm just saying that's obviously what happened.
Yeah.
His rep is also really confident that they've got evidence that's going to prove that they did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though,
But then she also retracted the statement, didn't she?
Yes. And then there's these texts that have come out and stuff
Yeah.
I think the thing is, if he did it,
he
should be 100% fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Get rid of him. That's absolutely fine. But let's see what happens.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
If talking like what we're actually here to talk about, comic book movies and stuff like that, easy enough to replace? If we need to? Not necessarily from an actor perspective, because he's great.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the only good part of Quantumania.
But you've got the multiverse. It's easy enough to do it nowadays.
It is easy enough to get around it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
I mean, I personally, I would prefer it not to. because yeah, I'm so enjoying what he's putting out and stuff like
unless
that.
Unless he has actually done something
wrong. But if he has done something wrong, then there's repercussions for that every time, exactly. Isn't there? So
100%. 100%. So sticking with Marvel then, more bad news for Marvel. We reported last week that Marvel had fired Victoria Alonso in a pretty abrupt fashion. There was loads of speculation at the time as to what the reasons were behind it, but it looks like we might have a bit of an idea. So right after we recorded last week's episode, which is always the way, The Hollywood Reporter claimed that Alonso had been fired by Marvel because she breached her contract by working with another studio. So apparently she'd done a movie that's been like nominated for an Oscar. And that's what people were thinking, basically. Alonso's lawyers disputed this at the time and said, quote, Victoria, a gay Latina who had the courage to criticize Disney, was silenced. Then she was terminated when she refused to do something she believed was reprehensible. So they're throwing it right back at Marvel. The Hollywood Reporter is now claiming that they know what the reprehensible thing was. So again, I don't really know what to say with this. Again, what they're reporting anyway is that Marvel wanted a gay pride storefront, which was on display in Quantumania, to be blurred out for the release in Kuwait because of their anti-gay laws.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying I don't believe that, but Marvel, as far as we've always seen, have taken a stand against countries who've said censor this.
They took a stand with China over something, didn't they?
Yeah, but like they took a stand with Eternals.
That was it.
That wasn't China, though. I don't know whether it was Kuwait. It was a Middle Eastern country
I thought China weren't happy about it.
Maybe it was.
I'm sure that China didn't release it because they refused to have it taken out.
Potentially, I can't.
Or
remember.
They'd cut it or something. There was something along those lines.
I know Marvel have been asked before. And again, this isn't me saying I don't believe Victor, believe what they're saying. Yeah. Again, this isn't what the lawyers are saying either. This has come from The Hollywood Reporter. This has not come directly from Alonso.
Yeah.
But it seems weird that they would try and censor something because they've taken such a stand before not censoring stuff. But again, it's one of them other things we don't know.
No.
We don't know what it is. It's all, again, it's like the Majors thing. It's all he said, she said.
Now, I've got to say, like, if obviously, you know, Victoria is correct in what she's saying, then obviously that's really shitty. If this is just a play so that she can get some compensation for being sacked and she's using her minority status as that point, I'd be really angry.
Yeah, I can imagine, yeah.
As a gay man.
But again, this hasn't come from Alonso.
I see people do this, and I see people use this a lot of the time when, in fact, nobody's particularly arsed, and the way they play on it can be horrendous, and I don't associate myself with people like that.
No?
If it's genuinely happening, fair play.
Yes.
100% with it.
But sometimes, are you saying sometimes it's an easy, like, well, hang on.
Yeah.
It's an easy out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine,
I've personally seen it happen, and I totally distance myself from those people because it's just negativity I don't want in my life.
But again, she's not actually said it. It's just been reported by media outlet. But then a little bit of me does wonder, with how much of a box office flop Ant-Man is, are they trying to get as much box office? Would they consider maybe doing stuff like that to try and get as much box office back as possible? Because when you're doing $1.5 billion movies, you can sit there and say, sorry, whatever country you are, we're not changing our stuff.
Yeah.
But when you've got, again, the start of phase five doing less than half a bill, are you going to go, oh, actually, if we can just tweak this slight thing, we could go and maybe get a couple more million out of that country? I don't know. It is speculation. We just said we weren't going to speculate, but I don't know. I feel like with this one, this is another thing that we are going to get a lot more certainty over.
Yes.
Because I don't think Victoria Alonso is going to take it lying down. I think she's just going to end up coming back and we'll know exactly what's going on with that. While we're on the subject of Marvel firing people, long-term Marvel Entertainment chairman Ike Perlmutter has also been let go this week, along with a number of other Marvel Entertainment execs. So, need to point out, Marvel Entertainment is separate from Marvel Studios, and it has been for a while.
Okay.
So they mainly deal with like comics, cartoons, merch, all that sort of stuff. Right. So it's not Marvel Studios firings. Also, Ike is like 80, so he's probably not actually doing much day-to-day work, if you get what I mean.
Fell asleep on Zoom one too many times.
Actually, yeah. According to the New York Times, though, this is all part of Disney trying to cut costs. On Monday, they cut 7,000 jobs.
Jesus.
Which is going to reportedly save them $5.5 billion. Why? I know the price of gas has gone up, but just turn the heating down in Disney HQ a little bit. and we'll be okay. We can save some jobs. Why are they looking to cut
double
costs?
Up their jobs, put some of the staff in the character costumes. They're fucking boiling.
Yeah, Victoria Alonso. Victoria Alonso wouldn't put dress up as Minnie Mouse and walk around Disney parks. That's why she was sacked. She felt it was reprehensible to dress up like Goofy.
Bob Iger walking around going, oh boy.
Can you imagine while you're here, chuck that helmet on and go out? Why are they trying to cut costs? Are they trying to cut what?
I'm just thinking of Chris Hemsworth. Hey everybody.
Chris Hemsworth's above it. It's fine. It's only the execs. It's only the no face execs. Why are they trying to cut costs? Is it just we're spending too much money, we've become too big a body? Or are they starting to panic?
Part of me wonders whether Bob Iger's got a plan.
Bob's got a plan.
I think, yeah. Because, let's be honest, Wrong Bob came in. I only call him Wrong Bob because I can't
wrong
remember.
Wrong Bob. You should be having a
because I can't remember his Bob. Surname. So I Bob just call Chapek. Him Wrong Bob. That's him.
Yeah.
Because of the whole cock-up that he had with Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And the fact that he'd moved stuff around that was supposed to be on the streaming platform to channels and stuff, so it didn't look like
it was making
the
a loss.
Streaming channel was making a loss and things yeah. like that. I think once they've realized, they've gone, we need to save this. So Bob's changed up the programming, you know, the amount of Marvel items that are coming out, you know, everything's been changed, stuff's been put kind of in an indefinite hold and all of that kind of stuff, and mm-hmm. now the jobs are going as well. So maybe he's going, I left it for 2 minutes. What's happened?
No. Well, I don't know if it's him though. Oh, yeah, because he's Disney, isn't he? Yeah, he's boss of Disney. Yeah, so potentially.
So my questioning is, has he come back to this, seen what's gone on and gone, we've got to make some serious changes to get it back to where it was when I left?
Yeah, maybe.
That's the only thing I can think, because don't forget, he's only been back for, 8 months?
No, I know, yeah.
It's not been long, so this is the amount of time it would take to start implementing these changes to get the ball rolling and
but
stuff.
We have said it's as if Marvel and Disney to a degree have got cock in. It's like we can just produce anything and you will consume it.
And now
you
people
will love
are starting
it.
To go hang
and
on.
Now they're not. It's like, well, we can't have all this infinite number of jobs anymore.
Yeah.
Because we need to, we can't just throw any old shit out and it makes $1 billion at the box office. And as much as we don't want people losing jobs, it's a positive thing that it's going to get
quality
it's gonna
over
get
quantity.
Better.
That's the whole
exactly.
point, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Should we talk some less dark and serious Marvel news?
Yeah, go on.
Believe it or not, we've got some positive Marvel news. I think we might have a couple of bits. We've got two. I forgot. I wrote this news down 2 days ago and I forgot. So we finally got a confirmed release date for Secret Invasion.
Yes,
so
we did.
So the Disney Plus app is now listing the premiere episode as dropping June
21st.
So we're sticking with Wednesdays. It's going to mean a gap, though, of over 8 months since we've had any new Marvel shows on Disney Plus. So
that's
8 months.
That, isn't it?
Over 8 months since the finale of She-Hulk by the time we get there. Excited?
That doesn't feel like 8 months, does it?
No. No, because we had a little hiatus.
And to answer your question, I'm very excited.
Are you excited?
This has been the one I've been most excited for, to be fair, for quite some time.
Isn't it nice how we're not that far off and I don't know what it's about?
Yes, 100%.
We've gone back to a bit of secrecy.
I'm going to be controversial here.
Go on.
Don't want a trailer. I don't want one.
No, I'd be all right with no more trailers.
No.
No, I'm saying I'd be all right with no more. I think we needed the teaser we got.
Yeah.
Because we need a teaser. There's a difference between the teaser and a trailer.
Yeah.
Teaser, good. Trailers, spoilers for later on, can be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because they can give too much away.
I'm happy with not getting anything.
Marvel have gone bonkers with that. And also, there's been so many leaks in Marvel. And again, that's the other thing about having so many staff members and so many people involved in these processes.
Yeah.
The less people you've got, the better.
I must admit, I've not been aware of very many leaks for a while.
I didn't know whether it was just because I was trying not to look at these things more as much, but I don't feel like we've seen much.
No.
And again, the fact that people still don't seem to know what's going on with Secret Invasion is a massive positive. It's also rumoured that Loki Season 2 is going to drop in September.
Yes.
And then that is us for 2023 series.
I'm genuinely dead excited for Loki Season 2.
So am I. I'm also happy that we've only got two series.
Yeah, me too.
It's a bit weird because we've had 8 months of no week-by-week Marvel series to do. But it is what it is, isn't it? I think, again, quality over quantity. I really struggle with that. Obviously, we'll 100% be covering the show and bringing you... I've actually written down we'll be bringing you all the latest trailers and news before it drops, but we won't. If there's a trailer, we're not watching it. Go and find it yourself. No. I'm not talking about it. We don't want to ruin it. Maybe. Depends how much we need listeners. Anyway, more good Marvel news. Liv Tyler is back in the MCU as Betty Ross.
Betty Ross.
It's been 15 years since we saw her in The Incredible Hulk.
That's mad.
I know, it's amazing. So the Hollywood Reporter were the ones who confirmed that she'll be making a return in Captain America New World
Can
Order.
Can I say something controversial, though?
Yeah, go on.
I like that they're using her because she was obviously in Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
I don't like her as an actress.
I can't really think of much other than Lord of the Rings.
So I've seen her in Lord of the Rings. Obviously, we watched her in Incredible Hulk, but she was also in the first series of an American show called 911.
Oh, okay, yeah.
About emergency responders and stuff like that. She was paramedic.
I know you love it, yeah.
It's just same.
Is it?
Yeah.
I just think it'd be nice to have her back. And I'll be honest.
I love the fact that they're trying to keep some continuity in there, even though it wasn't... it was kind of the closest to being a dedicated Marvel MCU kind of going into that. But then obviously a lot of the actors changed again and things like that. So the fact that they're bringing them back in, because obviously there's also about the leader as well, isn't there?
Yes. Oh, for God's sake, I've lost it. Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah, Tim Blake Nelson's
back. Harrison Ford has obviously taken over as Thunderbolt Ross.
And we've had the first pictures of him as well, haven't we, now on set?
We have, yeah. And we've had set photos already of Liv Tyler on set.
Yeah.
She's, again, a bit of speculation here, but she's at a funeral.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that it's...
Whose funeral would she be at other than her dad's?
I don't know.
It's a military funeral as well.
Is it?
Yeah, but from the looks of it, yeah. So again, because we've had rumors, I don't necessarily believe him, but there were rumors that he was going to be the president.
Could it be Steve Rogers?
Could be Steve. Why would she be there?
Just military.
Yeah, but why would she be there?
Because she's with her dad.
I'm wondering whether it's either at the end of the film.
Yeah.
And dad dies.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, try getting Harrison Ford to sign on for 9 movies. It's not going to happen, is it? I'm surprised he's doing this one. I think they tricked him. I don't think they know. I think it was like, look, Harrison, if you want another Indiana Jones movie, you've got to do something for us. Reciprocation.
Love it.
Do us a favor and we'll do you a favor. I wonder whether he's going to die at the end because genuinely, I know I make a joke about it because it's Harrison Ford and he's not going to want to sign on for 9 movies. Yeah, genuinely. Yeah. I also wonder whether maybe if it isn't at the end, are we all going to think that Ross is dead and he's going to really be the Red Hulk?
Maybe.
That could be a way it goes.
That would be quite good because then that would prep it for
Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Yeah, would do. Yeah, that'd be good. The other thing is Tim Blake Nelson, when he's been seen on set, he's got like a painted green arm. Which I assume is either he's got a green arm because he's like Hulk blood or something like that, but it also could be CG. So
I was going to say CG, the arm, or he might have a massive Hulk arm.
Yeah.
So it might be CG, but of a much bigger arm if his head's like...
I don't want to know, though. I know I'm sitting here speculating. Yeah, I don't want to know. I like the speculation. Don't want to know.
Also, guys,
I like guessing.
Ross's Tash is not going to be a thing.
It's not, which is not... See, this is it. This is Harrison Ford. He's like, no, I'm not growing a mustache and you're not sticking any shit on my face either.
They might CGI it in. I like the CGI it. Henry Cavill's out.
With his wibbly wobbly lips.
Could you imagine?
Oh, amazing. I feel like they'd do a better job of that than DC.
They'd make
did.
Him look like Sam. What's his name? Sam.
I know you mean. Oh, what's his name? Not Sam Neill.
No.
We all know who you mean.
Yeah.
Sam Thingy from Ghost Rider.
Mephisto from Ghost Rider.
It wasn't Mephisto, it was the old
Ghost
Rider. Oh,
shit, yeah, he was the old one.
Always sounds like he's got a social. Sam Elliott. Should have just got Sam Elliott to do it. But he did it in the original one, didn't he? Didn't he do it? Wasn't Sam Elliott, Ross and Eric Banners?
Maybe. Yeah, he was, yeah.
We did it, didn't we? Yeah. But, yeah, we don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I'm not convinced, though. Some DC news. Kind of DC news.
Okay.
Everyone's favourite actor, Chris Pratt, has been doing loads of promo this week for Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Obviously, next week, Wednesday, it's out in the UK. Part of that involved an interview with Comic Book Resources, and during the talk, he was asked about the possibility of joining the DCU now that James Gunn is running the show.
Right.
He said, as far as DC characters pan, I don't know. I'll let the fans tell me what they want me to do. I don't have anything official to announce. I haven't spoken to James Gunn in any capacity to where he's offered me anything like that. But listen, I love the guy. You know he's one of my best friends. I totally believe in me, in him. And if he calls me, I am answering.
Be careful what you wish for, because people might ask you to take a break.
Do you want...
I'll do what the audience wants.
Do you
wants.
Want Chris take a break. Pratt in the DCU? In the new DCU?
I need Chris Pratt to take a step back for 5 minutes.
Well, he's going into voice acting now. He's Garfield.
We've just been saturated with him quite a lot.
Mario.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a bad Garfield, to be fair.
He's going to be Garfield, isn't he?
That's no, it. I know. But...
And he's not going to be a great Garfield. But do you know what? I mean, we've not done Mario yet because it's not out until next week. But from the trailers, I don't think he's doing a bad job, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
You don't need full-on Mario. You need something like in between, and he seems to be doing all right.
Yeah. I think the thing with that was the first trailer that they put out was just the worst of the Mario lines that he said.
It was.
And it made everyone kick off. But it got everyone talking about it.
Everybody talking about Mario. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Wind people up a little bit.
I know.
What are we thinking? Right, here you go. Dead blunt. Chris Pratt as Superman. I mean, I don't want it, but... No. He's not going to do that, is he?
No.
Please.
He best hadn't.
No.
He's supposed to be younger anyway.
I know.
There needs to be somebody in their 20s.
There was a rumour that it was going to be Logan Lerman. Grace Randolph said that she had sources that said
I'd be okay with Logan Lerman. I really like Logan.
I have no idea who Logan Lerman is.
Oh, that's awkward.
There's a bit of a dig in it.
Percy Jackson, you prick.
I know, exactly. Whoa, don't call our mate James Gunn a prick.
I mean, joking, but he was also in The Hunters. Have you watched him in that?
No,
he's been very, very good in that.
So.
But I also don't like it. He looks like Keanu Reeves in the new one. He's got like the long, shaggy hair.
Oh, does
and,
he?
And like a almost beard. It's more than stubble, but not quite beard look.
But he still looks 10.
No, he doesn't actually.
Doesn't he? Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, I thought he was going to, but he doesn't. But it's like the first season of Hunters to the second season of Hunters because COVID happened in between.
Yeah.
He's just gone from baby face to then a young Keanu Reeves, okay. But like a young 50-year-old Keanu Reeves, do you know what I mean? And it made me laugh, but I could see that now.
As Superman?
Yeah.
Who could we
do
see?
You know, if it was a young Superman, do you know who else I could see?
Who?
Who's the lad, I can't remember his name now, from
this is going to be good.
13 Reasons Why?
I don't know who that is. Oh, yeah, the guy who was in Scream.
Scream.
The blonde dude who got the sheriff's, I know you mean,
I could see that.
Okay. No.
Could you not?
No. I don't know who I want for Superman. I feel like I want an unknown. Like we did with Cavill a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I think it's its own identity. It's its own thing, Superman.
Yeah.
But I don't,
I knew about Henry Cavill before he was in Superman, though.
No, when nobody wasn't really
that was because I watched The Tudors.
He wasn't
like
a big star, though, was he? Do you know what I mean? No. I don't know who I want Chris Pratt as, though. Hal Jordan.
Who's that again?
Green Lantern. And it's a Green Finger then. Green Lantern. I could cope with a Chris Pratt Green Lantern.
No, I'm not feeling it.
I'm not feeling the vibe. I'd be all right with that.
I feel like it'll be Star-Lord all over again, though.
That's what I think, but I'll be dead honest. I've not got a problem with Chris Pratt. He is oversaturated a little bit. He does Star-Lord perfectly.
Yeah.
And I get the impression that Star-Lord's kind of wrapped up now in the MCU, so... Go and take what you've done brilliantly and just dump him into the DCU and with a little bit of a tweak. Yeah. I wouldn't be mad at it.
It's really funny because, like, I think when you've said that, I've gone, not sure. Ryan Reynolds plays the same character quite a lot in the films that he does.
Yeah.
It's always that...
Sarky,
sassy type
thing.
But I never get tired of it.
Exactly.
And that's the thing with him. Whereas with Chris Pratt, I'm getting a bit tired now.
No, I'm not getting... I wouldn't get...
But Chris Pratt now...
I'm just
now,
getting tired of Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt now isn't Chris Pratt back when he was in Parks and Rec and stuff like that.
No, he's not.
Do you know what I mean? And I think... I don't want to say he's lost it a bit.
But he's not Chris Pratt anymore.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you mean, yeah. He's not Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is Andy from Parks and Rec.
Become quite generic in comparison to what he was.
Yeah.
And that I think that's why I'm a bit like, okay, I need to take a break from him now.
No,
because I genuinely do love him.
Maybe they will. Maybe he will though. Maybe we will get a bit of a break because it's going to be a while before he pops up in the DCU.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll see. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. He's going to be in the DCU at some point. So we'll see what happens. Speaking of casting, then, and last bit of news, definitely not the least bit of news though. Let's talk Ghostbusters.
Okay,
so the sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife set to arrive in theaters this Christmas. That feels really soon.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not convinced we're not going to get a delay, but let's stick with it. Majority of the new cast is set to reprise their roles from the last movie, but now Deadline are reporting on some last-minute additions. Okay. So we've got Kumail Nanjiani.
Yes, I saw that.
Patton Oswalt.
Yes, I saw that.
Amazing bit of casting.
I love Patton Oswalt.
He's so good. We've also got Emily Allen Lind, who appeared in the new series of Gossip Girl on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Not watched it. Don't know who she is, but yeah, sure.
And there was someone else. Go on. Oh, it's thingy.
James Acaster.
Yeah.
If for anybody who doesn't know who James Acaster is, go on YouTube and find him. He is hilarious.
He is.
It's the weirdest bit of casting ever.
In fact, specifically, go and look for James Acaster on Would I Lie to You.
Yes. On anything, he's amazing.
No, but have you seen the
Would I Lie to You? On the Great British Bake Off, he was brilliant.
Started baking it. Had a breakdown. Bon appetit.
He's so good. He's brilliant.
But have you seen that on Would I Lie to You?
No.
And it's like, you know, probably. You know the section where they do it's three people and you've got to guess which one he's related. Yes. Like,
is this one where he's got the kid who's his arch enemy or something?
The kid who's his arch enemy.
The melons or something.
Cabbages.
Cabbages.
They're having a cabbage rivalry.
It's amazing.
And he just like would turn up and people were posting cabbages to him and it was this kid.
He's so weird.
You need to watch it.
But he's
so
brilliant.
Good.
It's the so weirdest funny. Bit of casting ever. I hope it's fantastic, but as I said on Discord, it could be a car crash. Anthony's killing himself because he's remembering James Acaster.
No, it's
skits.
Not because I've gone to Bob Mortimer now and he's just as funny.
No.
Have you seen?
How have we gone to Bob Mortimer?
Because he was
comic book movies.
No, because he was in Would I Lie to You as well. And have you seen him and I can't remember who the other person was. It Vic
Shock.
Reeves or someone? It was somebody like that.
Yeah.
And they try to do, you know, the 7-Up challenge.
Yes.
Where you try and drink Sprite. Sorry, it's Sprite, not 7-Up. And you try and drink the entire bottle.
Yeah.
And then do one big belch at the end.
Yeah.
And he did it.
I think I've seen
it. He tried to do it and then he couldn't bear. So he ended up lying on his back and pulling his knees in to do farts in the middle of this grass. It's so stupid, but it's so funny. He was really in pain and
That's the standard of comedy that you can expect now in Ghostbusters Afterlife 2. I'm hoping it's brilliant. I've got a problem if he starts putting on American accent. We just need James Acaster playing James Acaster. Obviously not the name, but we just need that character. Because he plays a character. He's not, I don't believe
Could
he
you
is
imagine
really
him
how he is.
On the Ghostbusters phone line.
Yeah. Yeah, him as the receptionist would be brilliant. That'd do. That's all we need him to do. Just be the receptionist.
It'd be so funny.
That's fantastic. Let's stick with that. But I can't wait. It's not long. We're going to get trailers. We're going to get teasers, stuff like that. I'm just here purely for James Acaster. The rest of the cast are brilliant as well.
Yeah.
But James Acaster is going to be amazing. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. That's us for news.
That's it.
Shall we do our review? So we're going to review Dungeons & Dragons, Honor Among Thieves. We have just got back from the pictures, a.k.a. the cinema,
the pictures.
To watch
it. I haven't called it the pictures in ages.
We're not going to do... We won't do non-spoilers.
No. Let's go straight into it.
It was... Non-spoilers, it was good. That's it.
Yeah.
Good, not great, but not bad.
Good. I'm glad I've watched it.
But I
would
never
watch it if it was just on my telly.
But
I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it.
I agree.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I agree completely.
I don't think it was bad. I want to put that out there. I don't think it was bad. It was enjoyable. I laughed a fair bit in it.
Yes.
But just, it's quite long.
It's too long.
It's not big enough of a payoff for me to go, I can sit through all of that again.
Does
that make sense?
We'll get into more detail, but
yeah,
it's 2 hours, 15 minutes. So it's a long movie. I was surprised at that. I thought hour and a half, hour 40 tops is going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It is half an hour too long. It's funny in parts. It's entertaining. It's good.
Yeah.
It is the most generic movie I've ever seen. Ever.
Yeah.
It's like you could see beat for beat what was coming, what jokes were coming, what was going to happen at the end. You could tell from the first 5 minutes what was going to happen from the end. You knew what the big twist was going to be. And it was...
The trailer gave too much away.
The trailer gave all the good bits away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the tone of the trailer was not the tone of the movie.
I was so excited about the dragons.
There was only one.
There was two.
There were called some like people dragons. Ish.
Okay, so technically there were three dragons.
Okay.
But they were all in the trailer.
Yeah,
so you had the one that shot the rocks.
Okay.
In the sky.
Okay.
You had the fat one.
Yeah. The pudgy one.
And then you had the one that was the statue that she turns into.
Yes,
the dragons
we
chase
saw
them.
That as well, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But they were all in the trailer.
So yeah,
you didn't
get
any more than you already.
There was two.
You got a bit more of the fat dragon, but that was about it.
You got a lot of the jokes in the trailer.
Yeah,
not all of them.
No.
There were quite a few jokes in there. But even though the jokes that weren't in the trailer, I've seen 10 times in a lot of other movies.
Yes. They're quite generic jokes.
There's literally every single one.
It's the don't press this button.
Yeah.
They press the button before they finish telling you why you shouldn't press the button.
One of the highlights of the movie was when they had... So there's a scene in the movie, again, hopefully you've seen it and you're not listening to this if you haven't. But if you haven't, go for it. There's a scene in the movie where they have to dig up all of Michelle Rodriguez's...
I was about to say that was actually my favourite scene.
It was brilliant.
Thing.
It was really, really entertaining. But as soon as they dug up that first corpse and
you
said,
knew that they
you've
were
got five
be
questions,
up with the questions,
I was like, right, okay, well, I already know what the first five questions are going to be. Do I ask him a question now? How many questions have I had? That you knew that we were going to run out of questions instantly on that first one.
Yeah, yeah.
It still made me laugh
it
when
still
they
made
did
me
it.
Laugh.
But it wasn't like a surprise laugh.
But
it was
then,
more of a chuckle.
To be fair, though, after that, they did take it a different way. So, like, they'd asked two questions, got the information they needed.
Yes.
And then they still had three questions to ask before he could go back to sleep and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Go back to sleep before
you're dead.
Dead again.
Yeah.
I was crying with laughter at some of that. But it was the answers that we were getting from the corpses.
Yeah.
More than the actual questions or anything. They were all standout for me. They were brilliant.
Yeah, they were. It was good.
I just thought it was
really
enjoyable.
It did have its good moments, but it was very generic, as I said.
And then the whole story of the one corpse where he actually slipped getting out the bath.
Yes.
So he didn't actually even see the battle.
No,
like, it was those things were hilarious. I was just killing myself.
It made me laugh.
Yeah,
I laughed a lot
first,
in this movie.
The first one, it was the generic joke.
Yeah, you'd seen it before.
But you did
most of it.
You did pretty much see everything coming. I did jump about six times in it.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as it
the
was
thing
scary.
Was,
there was just a
no,
few
no.
jumps.
I was fully expecting what was coming, and it still made
still
me jump.
Jump.
And I think it's just being in the cinema. It being big on the screen and it being loud around you.
Yeah.
I think I just still...
No.
I knew it was coming, but it still made me jump. Yeah, yeah.
I know. And we were very distracted in the cinema as well. Because there was a group of kids being a pain in the arse in the cinema. But yeah, we were. And to be fair, but it's in some ways it helped with the jumps because you're not paying attention to the screen. All of a sudden there's this huge roar. So yeah, it helped a little bit.
Yeah.
So right. We'll get into characters. We'll get into the good scenes and stuff like that. Story-wise, though, it was very much a... It came across as whereas it wasn't a guys I've got a great idea for a movie. It was right, we're making a Dungeons and Dragons movie, figure out a story because we want to release a Dungeons and Dragons movie. The story came after.
Yeah,
it was like, we know what cast we want to use, we know it's got to be about Dungeons and Dragons because we've got rights to the IP. Let's put a story together. And again, it was a very, I'm going to use the word a lot, generic. It was, I've seen it before. I've seen it play out before.
Yeah, yeah.
There were bits that weren't, but the gist of the story is kid's been kidnapped, basically, by Hugh Grant. Chris Pine's kid's been kidnapped by Hugh Grant. His wife's died, and he's on a mission to rescue his kid and to bring his wife back to life. That's pretty much it. At the same time, you've got Daisy Head, who's the Red Witch zombie lady, whatever her name was. Safina, who at the same time is trying to, that is it, isn't it? Hang on.
I was just laughing at the fact that we said it in the same way at the same time.
She's basically trying to turn everybody into a zombie.
Yeah.
I'm jumping right to the end here. What a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste.
I thought there was a better battle than that at the end.
I thought
we
were going to get a full-on zombie army and them having to take on this zombie army. And we did.
Because that would have been that is such a common thing in Dungeons and Dragons.
Is it? I mean, I don't, right. So again, this is somebody I've never played Dungeons and Dragons.
I've not played it a hell of a lot, but you get like hordes of goblins, you do get these kind of things like happening. So I mean, I'm not an experienced D&D player. I've only kind of dropped in a couple of times and I'm still very much a novice.
Yeah.
But from what I've seen, you know, there's all sorts of different things that can happen, and there was just no encounters. It was like they went, we need to do this. They did this. When you play Dungeons and Dragons, it's we need to, which path do you take? You go down this route. You're going because you need to find treasure somewhere.
Yeah.
But then these things all come out at you in right. the mystical woods, or you know, in this cavern that you've gone into and things
and
like that.
Not much did here.
No, it was like, we need to go into the most dangerous cavern on the planet to get this thing.
Yeah.
To get it, and there's the dragon. It's like
there
it was
all very easy.
Yeah.
It was all very, very easy.
For a long film. There was no real journey. It was all about, here's the event points, and that was it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And Dungeons & Dragons is about the journey, not the points.
Okay.
Which is the one thing that makes it hard to put into a movie. But
in general, though, I think it just dragged a little bit.
Yeah,
Jake,
yeah.
Jake, I kept checking on Jake.
Now, don't get me wrong.
Jake was bored stiff.
Dungeons & Dragons can drag.
I'm sure it can.
But
it can drag on a little bit.
See what you did there.
Anyway, Jake was bored.
Was he?
Yeah, I kept looking at him. He's like, is it finished yet?
Oh, was he?
Because, but I get it. The action set pieces were good. Not great, but they were good.
There was a lot of talking.
It needed half an hour off it. Like
I must admit, the one thing I wasn't expecting, joke-wise, that I found really funny was the hologram, the magic version of him
that was
coming
good.
In on the...
Yes. It had its moments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had its moments. That was hilarious.
It was
when he started breaking down. That was really good. That was funny. That's what happens, listeners, when we sit there, when we go to too late a show and then try and record a podcast straight after. Cast wise,
yes,
there was a big cast.
There was a big cast.
There was lots of them. They all didn't get as much screen time as I thought they would.
No,
they definitely
was
didn't
the girl
get...
from It.
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
We're jumping in with Sophia Lillis first.
Yeah.
Let's go with Sophia Lillis.
Sorry.
It's a 2-hour, 15-minute film.
Yeah.
For the first hour and 45 minutes, she got like 3 lines.
Yeah.
She didn't really say much.
No.
She didn't really get to do much.
She transformed, so it wasn't even air. It was all green screen shit.
It was. She was very good, though.
She was very good.
When she was actually doing something on screen,
she
kind of stole the show a little bit.
Yeah.
She was good. We just needed to see more of her.
Yeah.
I don't know why we didn't. Other than the fact that it was like, we're just going to throw monsters at it and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she was good. So she's like a half human, or just lived with humans.
Half human, half wild.
She can just try. A wild, they called it, didn't they?
Yeah.
No, a wild shape.
A wild shape.
A wild shape. Yeah, that's it, yeah. So she's the one who can transform into all these different animals. Basically anything. Deers, owlbears. I'm surprised she didn't turn into a dragon at any point.
That annoyed me, that one.
I thought she turned into a dragon.
Good counterattack.
Surely,
silly.
At some stage. She was, again, as a character, she was good. She was entertaining. The animals she was turning into, it all looked really good.
Yeah.
To be fair.
The CGI was on point.
Yeah, you couldn't fault
it. I don't think there was a point where it was like, blatantly CGI there.
No, it wasn't. But I liked, because they've not, did we have this conversation about? It was the same as Shazam.
Yeah.
They didn't go for realism.
No.
Every bit of CGI looked cartoony.
Yeah.
And that was the look they were going for.
Yeah.
We didn't get into Uncanny Valley territory. It all looked
fantastical. You just sat in it and you were okay with it.
It was a cartoony dragon that clearly wasn't a real dragon.
Yeah,
do you get
what
I mean? Not that obviously there's a real dragon, that's why Auntie's sad. But yeah, it was that. The whole scene with her at the end when she was beating up the Safina.
So funny.
That was good as well.
But again
I saw it coming.
Yeah, and
I've seen it before. It was like Hulk and Loki.
Yeah, yeah.
It was exactly what I thought. Same.
Yeah.
Soon as she did it the first time, it was like, right, I know what's going to happen now. And she did it. And it was, to be fair, it was probably in a more funny way to a degree.
It was more funny.
It was less
so
down
because
by the fact
she did
seen
it
before.
She did it. And then we were like, okay, that's the same joke as before. And then they were like, okay, you can stop now. And then she literally went back and just went.
It was the manner that she did it in, though. It was like a kid. It was like, right, you're dead now. It was, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was very funny.
But again, it was good.
Yeah.
Let's go main cast then. So basically, it was the Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez show.
Yeah,
it was. They got the vast majority of the screen time.
Yeah,
we'll get to Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant was hardly in it either.
I wouldn't say hardly.
He wasn't in it much.
No, but he was.
I would probably agree with what he said. Actually, 3 minutes of screen time.
No, he got well more than that.
I don't think he did.
He got a good half hour altogether.
No, he didn't.
He had 10 minutes at the beginning.
No, not when he raised. Think about race, Kate. Right. When I mean actual screen time, like how long he's actually on screen. Tom Felton in all the Harry Potter movies is only in all the Harry Potter movies for 36 minutes.
Across Shut up, is he?
All eight. Yeah, there you go. So that's what I'm saying. So Hugh Grant was probably only in this for about 3 minutes. Maybe a little bit longer, but he wasn't in it much when you think about it that way. He was in seconds worth of footage at the start of the movie. We've jumped to Hugh Grant now. He was in seconds worth of footage at the start of the movie. Then he was in it for about 2 minutes, and then he didn't pop up again until the very end of the movie. Maybe about a minute somewhere in the middle, but he wasn't in it much.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Hugh Grant's brilliant. Hugh Grant, I mean, he's...
It's Hugh Grant.
It's Hugh Grant. He's the name, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I don't know whether I feel like he was phoning it in, but he was... He clearly wasn't taking it seriously.
No.
It was like, I know I'm on a Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Yeah.
I don't have to act properly.
And even his funny lines were a bit like, oh... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. It wasn't phoned in, but it was...
I must admit...
There was nothing special.
The section with the tea was funny. That made me properly chuckle.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
When
yeah.
she stuck her finger in with its ice and he was like, oh, I didn't think
you're going to put your finger in
there, so I'll have that a little
bit
later.
It was good. But yeah, he just didn't... He wasn't like a standout in it or anything like that. Again, as a big name all over the posters, all over the trailers, I suppose that's one thing that the trailers didn't sort of give away the fact that he wasn't in the movie much.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez show. If I'd taken two actors who I wouldn't put together as a pair.
Yeah, it's them two.
As a buddy comedy, you wouldn't think of Michelle Rodriguez and Chris Pine. You wouldn't even think of Michelle Rodriguez as being able to do a buddy comedy thing in the slightest.
No.
Chris Pine, yes, but not Michelle. And she did really well. She nailed it.
She nailed it for me, yeah.
And those two, the chemistry between the two of them was great.
Yeah.
They were both dead likable. Yeah. Chris Pine, I mean, Chris Pine's always quite likable, isn't he, to be fair?
Yeah.
I'm surprised Chris Pine isn't bigger of a star than
it's he made
is.
Me want another Star Trek movie, you know?
Yeah, he was good in Star Trek.
Watching him in that made me go,
well, you got to wait for that because you're not getting another Dungeons & Dragons movie. That's not happening. But we'll talk about the end,
I must admit, it's not happening. So Michelle Rodriguez is... one that I've grown up with in movies, and I've absolutely loved her in everything that I've seen her in, to be fair.
Yeah, but I feel like she's always played the same character in everything else she's been in, and she didn't in this one.
No, it was a bit... I mean, to a degree,
it was a
yes,
little bit, but it was a...
It was that badass, strong female role.
Yeah.
But there was a bit more to her this time.
It was more mature... Right, not more mature because it was more comedic, but it was more mature. It's like you could look on it as... Michelle Rodriguez has always taken herself quite seriously as being like the dead hard, you know.
But
not,
she had
not
fun
butch.
With this.
Yeah, she sort of was just like
the
I'm
whole
just gonna
romance storyline and her ex-husband and all of that kind of stuff.
Bradley
Cooper.
Didn't
hilarious.
See that one coming. They kept that out of the trailers.
Yeah,
completely.
But that whole dynamic there was so funny.
Yeah.
It just properly made me laugh. Like, I just thought it was brilliant the way they did it. And then the little clip at the end where she sees another guy and she bites
her
lip.
Know,
it was so good.
It was weird, though.
It was weird. It was dead weird. But it was so funny. And I just absolutely love her. I think she's brilliant and I really enjoyed her in this.
No, yeah, she was.
Yeah.
The pairing of them was really, really good. Chris Pine, did you buy Chris Pine as a dad?
Not really.
You didn't, did you?
I didn't really feel the father-daughter.
No, I didn't.
Like, I know the whole point was that they'd been estranged for a little while, but before that, they'd been basically a family unit.
Yeah, I know.
So, I didn't.
It didn't, no. I don't know how to explain it.
It was just
a little bit
disconnected.
It's the same as what I said with Hugh Grant, particularly with Chris, not with every member of the cast, but I mean, it's probably to every most of them.
Yeah.
Not phoning it in, but not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And maybe it was just because at no point did it feel like there were real stakes in the movie.
No.
And fantastical movies can have stakes. I mean, like Harry Potter, do you know what I mean? That's very, very serious. And none of this was. And I know they were going for more of a comedy, a comedy way of doing it. But just because you go in comedy doesn't mean you can't come across as it's serious as well. Old Marvel is a perfect example. Guardians of the Galaxy, do you know what I mean? It's one of the funniest movies in the MCU. And at the same time, it's got you crying at the end of the movie because it's so serious.
Oh, God, yeah.
And this was just too much leaning towards the comedy.
Yeah.
Again, if that's what it is, that's what it is. Justice Smith as Simon.
I really enjoyed him as Simon.
I was actually very impressed with his British accent.
Is he not British?
No.
Okay.
He's American. That's good, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I believed it.
I had to check it. I got home from that and was like, I didn't know Justice Smith was British. He was in Detective Pikachu and the Jurassic World.
Yeah.
He's always played an American. And I thought maybe he is actually British and he's not. So again, he did well. I suppose there was the odd moment now thinking back at it. Maybe it wasn't absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
But again, he was the comic relief of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I enjoyed him.
And that I think maybe that's why Hugh Grant felt out of place, because what was Hugh Grant doing?
Yeah.
Hugh Grant was trying to be the second comic relief in the movie.
Yeah.
And Justice Smith had already completely nailed it.
Yeah.
His story arc, you could see exactly where it was going.
Oh, yeah.
He starts off as the shit magician who can't do it, who doubts himself.
Yeah.
And then as soon as his great-great-grandpa popped up in that vision, you knew it was
him. How wasted was that? Because it wasn't used again after he got that door open.
No, I know. I mean, he was better with his powers.
He was better with his powers.
Yeah.
He just got his confidence up a bit.
All very predictably there.
That helmet was bloody powerful.
Yeah. Where did it go? Only they took it off him when he got captured.
I know, but then it's like...
Get it back.
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I was just a bit like, is that it? Is that all we're getting from that helmet after we spent an hour chasing it?
No, I know. I know.
Again.
Do you know
what I mean?
Good, but
very
predictable.
Yeah.
And That's a thing, isn't it? Who else was in it? Oh, right. I can't remember.
Oh, we got the guy from Bridgerton, didn't we?
I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it.
Is it Bridgerton?
Reggie Jean Page?
Yeah.
Reggie Jean Page?
I really liked him.
He was in it for about 10 minutes, though.
He was only in it for about 10 minutes.
Again,
I really liked him.
He was good. He seemed to be I've never watched Bridgerton, but I've seen clips. He seemed to be playing the same character he was playing in Bridgerton.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Like, very, very suave.
A bit humourless.
Yeah, but I think
that was quite funny in a way.
I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was a bit
Black Adam-y. He was taking things literally and not like...
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But he's probably one of the only actors in the movie who you could see wasn't going, well, I'm in a comedy, so I'm just going to purely not act serious at any point. You sort of bought into him. It was just a bit crap that he wasn't in it very much, to be perfectly honest. That's pretty much it for the cast, apart from Daisy Head. So Daisy Head, who played Safina, we've already talked about a little bit. She was really good.
She was really good.
She was scary.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, CG helped a lot with that as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, she was a little bit... That moment when she realised that Doric, the girl from It, was the fly, and she just, like, looked at her, like, piercing eyes and screamed.
And screamed.
That was a bit like, wild, that's creepy,
wild.
That.
What did we say it was? Wild.
Wild shape.
Wild shape.
Yeah.
And the way she just screamed it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
You were on edge with her when she was on the screen. You were just waiting for her.
Because you were just totally in there that she wasn't being seen by anybody. As this literally as a fly on the wall.
Yeah. Literally as a fly
literally.
On the wall.
Literally.
Well done.
Thanks.
Get the link now. Thanks. Big scenes. Action scenes. Were there any that weren't in the trailer? I'm trying to think. There must have been something going on in the movie.
So you had the flashback of the war with all the corpses. That was the one. That was the bit with the dragon, the rock spitting dragon.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean now.
When you said you weren't sure.
Yeah,
that was in the trailer. You had the whole scene in the underground bit with the fat dragon.
That was good.
It was good, and it was longer, but a lot of the scenes from that were in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. You knew what was...
Yeah,
the whole,
you knew,
the whole
you
bridge
knew where
thing.
It was going. Yeah.
You didn't know how they were getting across the bridge. I liked the whole use of the portal gun.
Yeah,
It became a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
Everything became too easy because of the portal gun.
Yeah.
But again, you saw that, and that would have been really good to not have seen that, and that we just were going in with it.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
We had the little bit of a flashback scene at the very start of the movie as well, when they were robbing the... when they were trying to rob the thing that he was trying to use to bring his wife back to life.
But not much action happened again.
Not much happened.
Because it was all over too quickly.
It was like 2 hours of talking, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was. You had the little fight when they escaped from the thing, but that was all in the trailer as well because it was all Michelle Rodriguez fighting while he's trying to...
That would have been an entertaining, funny... Not that you thought for a second that they were actually going to die at that point.
Clearly.
But it still would have had you going, how are they going to get out of this?
Yeah.
Where is she going with this?
If it hadn't been in the trailer.
If it hadn't been in the trailer.
Yeah,
you didn't need to put full scenes in the trailer.
No.
Not
and
the full
they,
scene,
and they really
you know what
did.
I mean?
Yeah.
Too much of a scene in the trailer.
Exactly.
To be fair, one of the best scenes was the whole maze.
I really enjoyed the maze. That was where that I was going to go with it.
That had me guessing. We didn't get it.
A lot of that in the trailer.
I can't remember seeing it in the trailer.
I remember seeing it in the trailer because we got the Hugh Grant doing the "It's awfully tall," and then you kind of see.
I don't remember the
maze because I remember the trunk opening and being a mouth.
Grabbing
Michelle. I didn't realize it was Michelle Rodriguez that it grabbed.
Okay.
And that was when I went, oh, okay, so that's who it's got hold of.
Yeah.
But that was all in the trailer as well.
It was.
But you never saw the panther with the tails, I don't think.
No, you didn't.
In the trailer. I was like, oh, okay, bit different. And I loved that it could do like a hologram of itself coming from a different direction to trap its prey.
That was one of the only parts of the movie that I don't feel like I'd seen before.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just from the trailer. It was very, I liked it. It was original, the whole maze.
Yeah. The concept was a bit different.
From the maze. When you think that they're out of the maze, they're not because they've now dropped into the bottom and the pieces of the maze are coming down.
Yeah.
And it just kept you, I wouldn't go as far as on edge.
No.
But it was like, oh, okay, this is good.
You weren't on edge, but you were captive.
Yes.
You were invested.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
100%.
So
I also loved the cameo-ish that we got there. So for anybody my age who used to watch Dungeons and Dragons, the cartoon, when they were a kid, there is, again, you might, whether you've seen it or not, they don't get any lines or anything like that, but there is a group in there who are all dressed as the characters from the Dungeons and Dragons movie, the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, and I like that. I really appreciated that. Wasn't a huge fan of the cartoons as kids, but I remember watching it on like CBBC or something, and it was a nice little nod, and it brought it back. The final scene in the movie, the whole fight against Athena.
Yeah.
Good enough.
It was a good fight. It was a decent fight. Yeah.
Devastated we didn't get any zombies.
Yeah.
Massive, again, huge waste of potential there.
You kind of expect when there's a big fight at the end, you've got the main baddie, but you tend to have a bit of a horde of some form of underlings. Does that make sense?
It was too easy.
And there was nothing. No. There wasn't any of that.
I assume that they are holding out hope for a number two, and they don't want to deal with a zombie horde in number one and then the zombie horde in number two.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, maybe.
But for what actually happened in the battle, again, it was one of them. Everybody got involved. I liked it. I liked the fact that everyone got involved. Chris Pine's literally like decking this magician with a guitar or a lute or whatever you want to call it. So it was good from that perspective.
Yeah.
You could see Michelle Rodriguez getting stabbed a mile off. And
do you know what? I must admit, I didn't. I didn't see that happening. But as soon as it happened, I then knew what was coming next.
As soon as she was in, I think I actually saw her get stabbed, to be fair, in the thing. But the moment I knew what was going to happen was probably, for certain, it was when they got on the boat and they sort of escaped Hugh Grant, and he had the thing that could bring people back to life. It was like 1,000,000% now, one of this team is going to die.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to use it. And I was like, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Michelle Rodriguez because it'd be the only one that made sense.
Yeah.
And then we go from there. Because it wasn't going to be Chris Pine, because Chris Pine would be like, do not bring me back. Bring your mum back. I kind of liked it, though. Like, the way they explained it.
Yeah.
The way that they explained, like, she was the mum. She was her mum. This, you know, the whatever the daughter's name was.
Well, it was the hints to it straight off. Mom. She ran straight past Chris Pine.
Yeah.
And hugged Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah. And Chris Pine, when he was doing the apology to Safina, who he thought was his daughter, was said, I wasn't trying to bring your mum back. I was trying to bring my wife back.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't her mum. And again, that was but I appreciated how they'd gone about doing
same.
That. When it actually got to that moment, as predictable as it was, I was a bit like, oh no, I can't like this. This is kind of this, you know, it did hit me a little bit, to be fair.
Yeah.
But so it did work. It was just all extremely predictable.
Yes.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
We didn't get, like, we got a post credits, which was funny in itself, because it was just one of the corpses, but it didn't really set that up. I suppose it's not a bad thing that we didn't do a huge job of setting up number two.
It was
sort of like in the background.
I actually thought that when he said that was question number five, right, as they walked away from him, and he was like, I thought it was just the fact that he couldn't decide on the answer.
Oh yeah,
and that's what was keeping him. So when I saw him at the end, I thought he was still going to be listing his books.
His books, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then it was just going to be like,
what did he say? Finished saying it, and then something.
Goes, and he's like,
hello,
hello. No one's asked me my fifth question. Oh shit!
It was good. It worked.
It was funny. It was very good. Funny. But I genuinely was kind of expecting as soon as I saw him, I just thought it was going to be when Wuthering Heights, you know, just something generic talking about these books and stuff like that, and then just go and collapse again.
I think
my favourite one was What's 2 plus 2? I'm really bad at math.
Yeah, the drop. It was good. It was good. I think one of the biggest problems it had, and I know we've already said it, it was too long. I think they were trying to do too much world building in the movie.
Yes.
So from a setup for number two, we already kind of know who the bad guy is because it's the zombie priest dude who was telling Safina what to do.
Yeah.
Who we sort of saw in the shadows a couple of times.
Yeah.
And even Chris Pine at the end is like, oh, whatever his name was, like Zamtam or something like that. He's going to be really pissed off, but we'll be all right. So it's clear that's obviously what we've had, and that's what they're leaning towards.
Yeah.
But half an hour of that movie that they've spent building that didn't need to be there.
No.
And I think what the issue is, they've gone into this not to create necessarily a really good movie. And I think probably a lot of franchises are guilty of it. They're going in, starting from scratch, building a massive world.
Yeah.
And you don't need to. You just need to give us a good movie to start off with. Give us a solid movie to start with that makes people go, I need a number two.
Yeah.
And then you can build on it after that. And don't get me wrong, you can still make cock-ups. The Matrix 1 didn't do a world-building thing. It just did The Matrix, and then they completely balls it up in number 2 and 3. I get that. So there are dangers in doing it that way because they can feel tagged on and not actually complementary to the story.
Yeah.
But that's what post-credit scenes are for. But you could have done all that in a post-credit scene.
You don't have to build the entire lore or world in the first film. You can just do what's needed for the story. Like, that's the thing. I mean, they were zooming out and doing the whole map thing like it was Lord of the Rings or something like that at the beginning of it, and they were trying to show you all different terrains and cities and or citadels and, you know, castles and all that kind of stuff, and it was just like, just focus on what you need to focus on right now instead of trying to build this massive thing.
It feels like 99% of movies that you go and watch now are set at, even if it's the first one and it's not a sequel, it's like, right, we are building a franchise. This is the first one of this franchise. It's when you get movies.
It's just getting too ambitious.
No, I know. It's when you get movies, action movie type things that aren't doing that, that end up doing well. We were talking about John Wick before. John Wick 1 was just a standalone movie. It wasn't world building. It was like, right, let's tell a story. Let's have one good story. And it just focused on that one story. So did Taken 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, and purely because we were talking about earlier on, but do that. Build one really good Dungeons & Dragons movie that makes us want another one.
Like, even with John Wick 4 now, because obviously I saw that last week, without giving any spoilers, the entire or a majority of the film is literally him getting from point A to point B in one town and getting there by 6:02 a.m.
Without trying to build up to number 5.
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it?
It's not he's travelling across 3 continents and stuff like that. I mean, he is on a different continent at the beginning, but like, the main storyline was literally him getting from one side of the town to the other.
Yeah.
In one night. That's it.
But
that's the whole story.
It's its own story.
Yeah.
And this wasn't. It wasn't, don't worry, it wasn't much, but there was too much time spent on world building and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I have no real idea what was going on with that guy who was bossing around Safina. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we spent time doing it and it got boring because it took you away from the main story.
Yeah.
It just didn't need to be there.
No.
So I think that's it. And I'll be very surprised if it gets a sequel. But then again, we don't know how well it's going to do at the box office. Our cinema was quite busy.
Rotten Tomatoes, it's 89%.
Yeah, but I know. That's the thing, isn't it?
So,
and I'll be honest, I don't get it. I enjoyed it. I wanted to love it. I really did want to love it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad movie.
No.
I mean, personally, I would say out of 10, 6. Solid 6.
Yes.
Not any better than that.
No, I'd go same.
But no worse either.
No.
Just a solid 6.
It wasn't a bad film, and it was 100% worth a watch.
It was just bang average.
Yeah.
And you're never going to watch it again.
I wouldn't. If it was on the telly and there was nothing else on, I'd go, yeah, I'll just leave that on.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again.
I get what you mean. No. Completely agree. Should we see what the listeners thought? Should we Podfans assemble?
Pod? Fans assemble.
So we did a poll to see what you thought of the movie. 60% of you loved it. 20% said it was okay, and 20% of you hated it.
again, six out of 10, 60%. That's where I put it. Where would you put yourself? Yeah. It was okay. I didn't love it. I know I made the
It was better than okay, but I didn't love it.
I feel like I need another one in between. I needed a fourth option. It was good, but I didn't love it.
Yeah. So Rachel Miller said, a lot of fun. So many great one-liners, and I completely got the comparison with Guardians of the Galaxy, Lord of the Rings. I said Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Any film with the word skullduggery right at the beginning has me bought in. Yeah. Skullduggery was a good word, to be fair.
Yeah, and that shows it's like something, as generic as it was,
yeah,
the actual theme of it is something that we've not had.
Yeah.
We've not had it was like a comedy Lord of the Rings to a degree. But yeah, again, it was trying to set up a Lord of the Rings franchise and it just wasn't ready for it.
No. We had a message from I Mean Hello saying, likely swimming against the tide on this, but I really hated this film. Never got into D&D, but had many friends who were, and honestly only went to see On Among Thieves because I got an invite to a preview screening. It was clear from the outset that this movie was aimed solely at fans of the game and little to no attempt was made to make it accessible to the rest of us. The cast all give charming tongue-in-cheek performances and it does have some decent action and FX, but it's a weak script. You can see most plot points coming a mile away and the jokes are pretty lame. Still, as a cynical exercise in franchise building, this film will do the trick, and with box office likely very strong, a part two will be announced soon, so fans and fans alone should be happy.
Yeah, you summed that up really, really well. I mean, we didn't even read that comment. We made sure we didn't read the comment before we went in.
I literally saw that he said really hated it, and I was like, I don't want any spoilers, so I didn't look at anything more.
But right, tongue-in-cheek, that's what I was after.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. Not phoned in, but it was all tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely spot on. But yeah, the fact that somebody else has noticed it was just trying too hard to world build.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't agree with the hate, though. I don't know D&D at all.
Yeah,
so
the only bit that I don't agree with was that, like, it was only accessible to D&D people. I actually, again, because I've played it, but I'm a complete novice with it. So for me, I just enjoyed what was being portrayed to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there was enough there for non-D&D people. But yeah, now I am wondering, all the boring bits that I didn't get what were going on.
Was
if I was into D&D, would I be sitting there going, oh my God, that character, oh my God, that...
Yeah, yeah, no,
that,
I get you.
That sort of type of person or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Species, whatever they're called, because they're all different, like classes or something aren't they, in D&D?
Bat said, it's my new favourite fantasy adventure film. Incredibly whimsical, super funny, lovable characters all around. The pacing was great. The practical effects and transitions were super well done. I was entertained throughout the whole movie. Hope it does well. Some more is made.
Fair play. I get why
people
would... It's
literally just across the board, isn't it?
Like, I get why people would enjoy it, yeah. But we went into this at the start, because I think we'd seen two of the comments that we had. And one was, I loved it, and one was, I thought it was awful.
Yeah.
And we basically, even before it started, said, it's going to be like Marmite, this. You're either going to love it or you hate it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm neither. I'm just smack bang in the middle.
Same.
I am completely in the middle.
So then Angelo said, tries to be fun, but the cast had zero chemistry. It's driven on visuals and not story. Only saving grace is Hugh Grant. Sadly, not enough to save this disaster.
What a mixed bag of opinions. Yeah. I think Hugh Grant was probably one of the worst parts of the movie. I think the chemistry was good between some of them.
I actually thought the chemistry was quite good between
but
some
that's
of them.
By all means, it's not saying that, that Angelo's wrong. It's just, it's weird, because normally when we do these PodFans Assembles, everyone's
a general
sort of
theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get the odd person who's outside of it, but it's
so opposing. Yeah, opinions.
It's completely mixed, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks very much for that, guys.
Cheers, guys.
We appreciate it. Again, it's literally come out tonight. So the fact that we've had a few of you guys getting in touch straight away to let us know what
you're
thinking
about
it's brilliant. Should we do Patreon shout outs then?
Yeah, let's do it.
So thanks to Geeky Nate, Kenneth, Night Spearhead, Richard, Jessica, Avid Gamer, Sheldon, and Michael for supporting the show. Patrons get exclusive access to our bonus podcast Into the Podverse with brand new episodes every month. March, we're April. By the time you listen to this, we'll be into April. So we don't know what we're doing for April, but we'll figure something out. March, we did...
April Fool's, not doing anything.
The Morbius... Oh God, it's April Fool's Day tomorrow. Oh shit. We did the Morbius commentary. If you again, if you fancy torturing yourself for 2 hours, go and watch Dungeons and Dragons and then go to Morbius.
We have already talked about the next one we're doing, haven't we?
I don't know, have we?
Wonder Woman 84.
Is that, are we doing that?
We're
is
doing
that. The next
that.
One?
That's okay, the next one we're doing.
So we're doing a Wonder Woman. Is that what we're doing for Patreon in April? Is that what, have we decided
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Patreon in April. Anthony says it's happening, so it's happening apparently.
I'm just desperate for you to watch
we're doing Wonder Woman.
It's annoyed me that you haven't watched it to this point.
Commentary. So. I have not seen this. So
I love that you're going in blind.
I am going in blind and you're going to be able to listen to me watch this. This is also someone who's only watched the first half of Wonder Woman 1.
I didn't mind it, but I know that it got a lot of hate and I know that you're not going to like it. So I'm just excited to experience that.
Wonder Woman 1, everybody loved it.
And I loved Wonder Woman 1.
Yeah, but I've tried to watch it twice
and fell
asleep.
Funny enough,
I'll keep
with the theme because it'll be Chris Pine as well.
Yeah, but I fell asleep twice. I fell asleep both times I've tried to watch Wonder Woman 1.
Oh.
Yeah, so God help me with this one, because apparently Wonder Woman was good and this was crap, so I'm going to be knackered here. I'm going to love it. It's probably going to be my favourite film
ever. If you love
ever.
It, I'm going to piss myself. That'd be so funny.
So yeah, they are, we don't know when it's dropping, but it'll be dropping at some point this month.
Yes.
Patrons also get exclusive access. I've already said that. Hang on. No, we know you get exclusive access to that. What else do you get? Patrons also get discounts off the merch and the ability to listen to the show being recorded live every week. If you want to access all the extra content and support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/thatsuperherothing. Or hit the link in the description. Don't laugh at me.
I wasn't laughing at you. I've
it's
just
late.
I've just headbutted me and Mike.
Oh, there you go.
And it's like the third time I've done it tonight.
There'll be a thud there in there. And I'm not editing it out. There you go. You know what it was now. Anyway, thanks for listening. Don't forget to come back next episode for our review of Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
It's super.
Here we go.
There you go. I knew Anthony was going to do something. Plus all the latest comic movie news. If you don't already, make sure to check out our socials at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for all the latest updates on the show and calls to action for next week's Pod Fans Assemble. If you've enjoyed the show, make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a rating or review on Apple or Spotify. The more 5-star reviews you get, or you get, we get even, the higher we go up the charts and the more people will be able to find the show. Platform-wise as well, we are now on Samsung Free Podcasts. That's a thing, apparently.
Yes.
Yeah, we're on there. We weren't. I mean, yeah. If you've got a Samsung, and you've got a Samsung.
I've got, but I've never heard this app.
If you don't want to listen to us on the app that you're already listening to us on, you want to change it up a little bit, there you go. Go Samsung.
We have options.
You've got loads of options. We like to give you options. We've all gone a bit mad now because it's extremely
late. It's really late. I'm overtired.
Me too. And I'll be honest, that was, as much as I enjoyed it, it was a little bit of an effort. So, yeah, we're going to go now. I'm just upset that we're doing Wonder Woman 1984 and I didn't know.
I'm so excited.
Right, I'm going. I'm going to set myself up. I'm going. Do you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go home and I'm going to try and watch Wonder Woman 1 for the third time. I'm not going to get through it. Anyway, cheers, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.